Well, this is very interesting, and it might seem a little bit obtuse. What is this membrane skin receptor business? Well, let me give you some interesting fact that we'll expand on in a little bit, and that is this. When I was teaching this cell biology and teaching about the proteins in medical school, in the opening day of teaching the course in cell biology, what I would inform the students of is a very important fact that most people weren't aware of. And that important fact is this. While you see yourself as a singular entity, the truth is you are not a single entity, that you are made out of living cells. It's the cells that are the living units that collectively make you. So you are actually a community of upwards up to 50 trillion cells. Secondarily, when you look at all the attributes that a human expresses, all the different kinds of physiological mechanisms and characters that humans express in their normal behavior and their normal lives, here's an interesting fact. There is not one new function present in the human that's not already present in every single cell. Wherever you have a function and an organ to carry out that function, this little tiny miniature cell has an organelle, meaning miniature organ, that carries out the same function. So the idea is, if you really want to study the cells, you can look at a human and get parallel understanding because they're built in the same image. In fact, the human is made in the image of the cell. And this is why science can study cells and apply that information directly back to humans, because we share the same functions, we share the same structures, and that whatever we can do as a human can only be done because our cells are doing it in the first place. So with that parallel that I said we can look at a cell and look at a human and compare the two and make an understanding from it, let's go back to that cell. And I was talking about on the skin of the cell, the skin reads the environment because on the skin are receptors. And then I say, well, wait, you're made in the image of that cell. Guess what? You have a skin. It reads the environment. And you have receptors built into that skin. There's some very big receptors that are very obvious. Eyes, ears, nose, taste bud. These are obvious receptor structures that are built into our skin, and their function is to what? Read the environment and then send a signal internally so we can interpret and respond to the environment that we live in. The parallel is exactly the same. The surface of the cell is a skin. It has receptors built into it. The receptors read the environment, and the information of the environment is relayed to the inside of the cell so the cell can know what's going on. So now we've covered the first part of the membrane's function, reading environmental signals. Again, so does your skin. Not only do we have the receptors in the head, the very large ones like ears, eyes, nose that we talked about, but all over your entire body, the skin is filled with receptors to let you know what the temperature is, to let you know if something is touching you, to give you all information about the environment, let you know about painful things. All these are receptors, actions that are built into the membrane called the human skin. The same thing occurs, but at a smaller level in the cell. So now we have one set of proteins that we described. These proteins are the receptors. They read the environment and change their shape when the signal shows up. But that only tells the cell that a signal is there and identifies what signal it is, because the protein that responds will determine what signal was present in the environment. But now, how does the cell respond to the presence of the signal? How does it engage in a behavior? And the answer is the other set of proteins that are built into the membrane, the other IMPs called effectors. As the name implies, effector proteins create an effect. And so when these proteins are built into the membrane, they have, like all proteins, a resting conformation. But the effector proteins are coupled to respond to activated receptors. So in the surface of the cell, there are couplings of receptor and effector proteins. When the receptor is not activated, the receptor and the effector protein don't actually communicate with each other, because the shapes or conformations of the proteins in their inactive state do not provide for coupling. But when the protein receptor reads a signal, remember, it changes its shape. So in a sense, the activated receptor has a different shape or conformation than the inactive receptor. The new activated shape it takes on turns out to be a physical complement that will plug into the effector protein, which was just resting there. So basically, let's review this. There are sets of proteins in the membrane that consist of receptors and effectors. The receptors read environmental signals. Before the signal shows up, the effector is in conformation A, the receptor is in conformation A, neither of them plug into each other. However, if the receptor sees its signal, the consequence of a signal binding to a protein changes the conformation. So receptor A changes its shape into conformation B. Yes, but B is a structure that is recognized by the effector, so the receptor now plugs into the effector. But once the receptor binds to the effector, it changes the shape of the effector because the receptor acts as a signal and changes the effector from conformation A to conformation B itself. But here's the important part. When the effector changes its shape, the response is it leads to an activation of a cellular function, such as respiration or digestion or movement of the cell. So basically, we stand back and we look at the surface of the cell, and it's filled with all kinds of proteins built into that membrane. And there we can see one pair of proteins, a receptor and an effector. And they're not connected because there's no signal present. And now we'll play through the system. A signal shows up in the environment that the receptor can recognize. The system leads to the receptor binding the signal. When the signal is bound, the receptor changes its shape. In the new conformation, the receptor then plugs into the effector. It couldn't do so before because conformation A wasn't recognized by the effector, but the activated form of the receptor is. So the activated receptor plugs into the effector, which in turn activates the effector to change shape, which in turn sends a signal into the cell to engage one of the functions. The function that engages is not a random function. The function that is engaged is directly related to whatever the signal is that showed up, so that the biology responds to the signal. To give you a personal example of what I'm talking about, consider this, that you walk out of your house and it's a very cold day. Your skin is your membrane. It's got receptors in it. You have receptors that read the temperature. When the receptor recognizes that it's cold out, it changes its conformation, sends a signal inside the cell, and that signal is mediated by an effector that responds to the sensory receptor. And that effector causes us to raise our metabolism and as a result generate more heat and keep our body at a constant 98.6. And basically, how did that work? A receptor at the skin picks up an environmental signal, engages an effector, which then adjusts the metabolism. So basically, the skin of the cell, the skin of the human, are operating under the same mechanisms. Well, at one sense, somebody out there in the audience might be saying, now, wait a minute. You said that humans and cells are sort of physical images of each other. In fact, that is true. Then I also said that the organs of the human are reflected in the organelles of the cell. And lastly, I said that the cell membrane, the organelle that surrounds the cell, is the equivalent of the brain. And then I said the cell membrane is the equivalent of your skin. That's where some of you might go, wait a minute. Are you saying my skin is my brain? Yes, in fact, I am. But this is obvious information if you understand embryology. And just to connect these to show the relationship between cells and human bodies, let me just briefly review the early stages of embryology. In the formation of an embryo, a sperm and egg come together, and the fertilized cell is called a zygote. The fertilized cell begins to divide and form a ball of cells. The first form of the embryo is this loose aggregation, a ball of cells called a blastula. But the next phase of development of the embryo involves a sorting out of the cells to form three concentric layers like a bullseye target. The layers in Latin are called derms. Derms means skin. That's why we talk about dermis and epidermis. So there are derms. There are three derms or layers of the embryo. The three layers from the outside in are called ectoderm, mesoderm, and endoderm. Ecto means outer, derm means layer, ectoderm, outer layer, meso means middle, mesoderm is middle layer, and endo means inner, and endoderm therefore means inner layer, the three concentric layers. What's unique about the layering of the embryo at this stage is that these specific layers give rise to very, very specific organs and tissues. And here comes the catch that's really fun. The outer layer of the embryo, called the ectoderm, only gives rise to two structures in the developed human. The ectoderm provides for the skin, and the ectoderm provides for the central nervous system. So the parallels of comparing the skin of the cell to the brain is the exact parallel of looking at the human embryo in its three-layered configuration, recognizing that the ectoderm provides for both the skin and the brain at the same time because they are connected to each other.